inner sense of contentment, an inner sense of contentment and quietness in the midst of perplexities and difficulties and hardships. That is, a person who has genuine godly peace is a person who can live in the midst of a storm and feel the howling winds and feel the tornadoes and the earthquakes and everything around them beating against them. And listen, and all of that avalanche of difficulty, hardship, and trouble on the outside, on the inside, there's a sense of indescribable quietness and contentment. You say, well, how could that be? Because it is not based on anything about our circumstances, anything about our surroundings, anything about events, anything about what somebody else does. Someone says, well, I could have peace in my heart if it wasn't for him, or if it wasn't for her, or it wasn't for that. No. You know what? Tell you why that's a fallacy in our thinking. That didn't give you peace. He didn't give you peace, nor did she give you peace. The source of your peace is the person of Jesus Christ. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, you don't have to give in to the trouble that you may feel in the moment. For example, all of us can get hit on the blind side by something that at that moment causes either fear or uncertainty. But the moment we know how, and when we learn how to respond, the moment we respond correctly, you know what happens? All of a sudden, that turmoil that faced us briefly, it is only in a brief moment, and then we know exactly what to say and how to respond, and I'm coming to that. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you're going through in life. The Prince of Peace was born about 2,000 years ago. And he's still alive, sitting at the Father's right hand, living inside of you if you've ever trusted him as your personal Savior. And my friend, he's not sorta adequate. He's not mostly adequate. He's not sometimes adequate. He's not most of the times adequate. He is a God who can give you absolute, lasting, sustaining, established, immovable, unshakable, unchangeable, unalterable, indescribable peace no matter what you're going through in life. That's who he is. And so when you think about the kind of peace that he gives, somebody says, well, I can understand that, but where does it say that in the Bible? So I want you to turn, if you will, to John chapter 16 for a moment. Look at this. There's nothing that you and I need to know that's not in this wonderful book. John chapter 16, and I want you to listen to what he said. Listen to this, if you will, in verse 33. These things I have spoken to you so that in me, look at that, the two most important words in this sentence are two-letter words. In me, you may have peace. Not apart from me, but in me. What is he saying? He says, in me, that is, in that relationship. In the 15th chapter, for example, he talked about our abiding relationship, that we're abiding in him. That is, we're resting in him, living in him, trusting in him, that our life has its source, the person of Jesus Christ. So when he says in this passage, he says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. Now, in the world, you have tribulation, but take courage. I've overcome the world. Does that mean, for example, that if I'm a child of God, that I won't have any more tribulation? No, it doesn't. Here's what it means. He says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. What I'm going to give you is a peace that'll make it possible for you to be able to ride on the top of the storms of the tribulations in life, no matter what they are, with a sense of abiding, indescribable contentment and quietness of the soul when everything around you is blowing apart. And you see, that's exactly what the world needs. That's what every single individual needs, because we're all going to go through storms in life. We're either going to be blown away by the storm, knocked off track, be tempted to take detours? Are we going to stay steady to face the winds and the turmoil of life because we have a relationship with someone who has proven to be adequate and sufficient to meet every single storm of life? He is our peace. Paul said, Jesus Christ is our peace. And so no matter what you're facing today, how difficult, how trying it may be, no matter how long it's been going on in your life and you think, well, Lord, if you really and truly love me, you wouldn't let this happen? Yes, because here's what happens. How would you and I ever know what he's like if he didn't toss us in the fire every once in a while and say, now watch what I'm going to do for you? He allows the storms not just to prune us and discipline us. He allows the storms to reveal Himself. Watch what I do for you. Watch how I provide for you. Watch how I give you an overwhelming sense of indescribable peace. Watch what I do in the midst of all this. God is a loving God who loves us unconditionally. He desires that you and I have peace. How would we ever know how powerful it is unless He increased the storm? And so when the intensity of the storm increases, listen, and my contentment doesn't decrease, and the quietness of my soul doesn't become ruffled, what do I learn? That no matter how difficult the storm, His peace is steady, strong, adequate, sufficient to see you through it no matter what.
You're listening to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. Those of us who are believers can live with a continual sense of security, no matter the circumstance, because Jesus has given us His peace. If you're struggling today, cry out to the Lord, asking Him to replace your anxious feelings with His peace. Dr. Stanley's message on living in lasting peace continues tomorrow, but in the meantime, you'll find more information about the peace Jesus promised in the 14th chapter of John at our website, intouch.org. And if you go to the bookstore page, you can order a copy of today's complete message, Living in Lasting Peace. Again, you'll find these resources at intouch.org or call 1-800-INTOUCH. To write to us, address your letter to In Touch, Post Office Box 7900, Atlanta, Georgia 30357. Hear how a simple act of kindness made a huge impact in the life of a lonely child named Charles Stanley. Today's Moment with Charles Stanley is just ahead.
When Jesus revealed Himself as the Messiah, He proclaimed He had come to earth to set us free. That freedom can be found in the gift of the cross. The moment we accept Jesus as our Savior, the chains that had us bound are broken, and we are truly free. Join us for our year-long study, Freedom in Christ, and experience the abundant life Jesus came to liberate us for. Discover more at intouch.org/freedom.
Our Freedom Morning and Evening Prayer bookmark offers prompts and scripture to encourage you to pray without ceasing. This free bookmark will give you a loving reminder that even though you may not have control of your day, prayer can guide your path.
You cannot start or end your day any better than with a word of prayer.
To order yours plus one to give away, visit intouch.org/free or call 1-800-INTOUCH.
No believer needs to feel trapped by loneliness. Here's a moment with Charles Stanley.
I can remember growing up, and I came home to an empty house every day, and I came home from school, and I remember the first grade. I still remember the school teacher saying, "I like Charles. Why do you think that registered on my little six-year-old mind? Because somewhere deep down inside this little boy's heart, I think I was so lonely in those early years that for somebody to say, 'I like Charles,' it's like God put that on my tape, and I've loved that tape ever since." And I wonder how many people you and I live around and work around who would just love to hear us say, "I like you. I just love you." I don't know where you are in your relationships with people, your relationship with God, but this much I do know. God can and will bring you through that loneliness and absolutely fill your life with a joy and a sense of contentment that this world will never be able to explain or understand.
God is willing to replace your every heartache with His peace. Visit us at intouch.org to learn more about the Christian life. Would you like to hear today's message again? You can stream it on our website or download podcasts and take In Touch with you. Our web address again is intouch.org. Sudden loss or disastrous circumstances can chase peace away. Be encouraged when you join us for part two of Living in Lasting Peace, Friday, on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, and remains on this station through the grace of God and your faithful prayers and gifts.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station, your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Thursday to you, Brevard County. I am so glad that you tuned into the Refresh Radio program today. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. And if you do not have a church home, we would love for you to come and be a part of what God is doing at Merritt Assembly of God. I pray that your next church home, if you're new to the area, I pray it looks an awful lot like Merritt Assembly of God. And there are a lot of people moving into the area. And so if you're new to WMIE, we want to welcome you to the area. And we are so thankful that God has brought you as laborers into the community, because we want all of Brevard County to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's where we are. And we are here on the radio Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, and WWBC 1510 AM. You can catch a rebroadcast of the program over on WWBC 1510 AM as well. So pray that you are planning on having a safe and enjoyable weekend. For those of you who have had service members who have passed away, we want to honor them and thank you for their service. I had a friend in high school and didn't know too much about her family. But later on, because of Memorial Day, I found out that she had an older brother who had gone to Vietnam, and he never came home. And it was like, oh, I never knew that about her. And we want to honor all of those who have given their lives so that we could continue to have the life of freedom that we have. And so let's not squander that freedom. So thank you to all of the family members. We honor you and salute you, and thank you for your loved one's service to our country, and I pray that you have a great weekend. This weekend is not about hamburgers and hot dogs, and it's not about the Indianapolis 500 or any. All of that stuff takes place, but it is really about honoring those who served our country and served honorably and have paid the ultimate price. So thank you for your service or for their service. Proverbs chapter 1 is where we are going to go today. I want to set the stage for it. We're still looking at seeking justice and what that looks like. In Psalm 140, while you're turning to Proverbs chapter 1, I just wanted to read one particular verse. And it says this: I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Not only does justice originate with God, not only does justice end with God, but God is the one who maintains justice. So here's what I've written down. If we as a society want God to maintain justice in our society, in our civilization, we had better make sure that God remains the center of our society. It is only a natural byproduct of society marginalizing God and pushing him out of our lives to a greater and greater degree on a regular, consistent basis now for decades. It is only natural that justice is going to begin to be strained. We'll talk about some of the things that hinder the lifestyle of justice in a later program. We haven't gotten to that passage yet, but we will. So I want to encourage you. There is no maintaining, there is no justice, no peace, unless God is at the forefront. And that's very, very important. We need to maintain, we need God to maintain the justice system. If we lose justice, then it becomes anarchy. Everybody just doing what is right in their own eyes. It becomes a land of lawlessness instead of a land of justice, and nobody wants that. Nobody that I know of wants that. So in Proverbs chapter 1, we read this in verse number 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. This is the introduction to the entire book of Proverbs. So let me just ask a question to begin the radio program. How many of you have ever read the book of Proverbs? How many of you have ever studied the book of Proverbs? It probably needs to be some more. Now, I know that there are some who have heard of the Proverb a Day Club, and that is where you read a proverb, a chapter in the book of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters. For you ladies out there, you've heard of the Proverbs 31 woman. Mother's Day, everybody talks about the Proverbs 31 woman, and ladies like, I don't want to hear about the Proverbs 31. Well, you know, anytime a lady says that to me, it's like, well, at Father's Day, we don't get measured against the Proverbs 31 woman. We get measured against God, the Heavenly Father. So you're going to come measuring up better against the Proverbs 31 woman than we are against our standard, which is the Heavenly Father. So, don't get a whole lot of sympathy for me about comparing with the Proverbs 31 woman. But there are 31 chapters, so there are 31 days in January and March and May and July and August and October and December. And so there would be some months that you would have to read two Proverbs on one day. And then in February, you would have to read 29 30, 31, three Proverbs on one day there. But if you read a proverb a day, you know, that's good. But there are so many tracks of thought, so many applications of wisdom in the book of Proverbs that it really would take a lifetime to study all of those different concepts. So, the book of Proverbs is a great place to start if you're wanting to start living a wise life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's verse number 7. So don't despise the instruction manual. So earlier this month, I bought some new office chairs. We had the same office chairs for probably 20 plus years. My office chair was basically a black piece of leather or vinyl over a wooden plank. All the cushion was gone out of that thing completely. So it wasn't a place you wanted to really sit for very long. So the store had them on sale for a remarkable price. And then my office manager, who is the best office manager in Brevard County, and I only say that because my awareness of office managers beyond that is extremely limited. And no, you can't have her come and work for you instead of working at Merit Assembly of God. She's invaluable. She has been our office manager for almost 20 years now. And she makes working. And I tell you all this because she had a coupon that got us an even better price. And so we ended up with these really nice chairs that we paid almost the same amount of money for as we had the economy version that we've had for 20 years. So I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful that there's an instruction manual because I had to put those chairs together. And if I didn't have the instruction manual, I would have been guessing and probably would have guessed wrong on some of the things. In fact, I looked at the instruction manual and I thought that I put part of it together right the first time and realized, nope, that's not right. This needs to go the other way. That's what the Bible is. It is specifically what the book of Proverbs. It is not to impress you with Solomon's ability to put together catchy little phrases and statements. The book of Proverbs was not a meme machine before there was Facebook or any Instagram or the Bible app or anything like that. It was meant for wisdom, instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. That's what it was for. And so in the midst of all of that detail of why he's writing the book, there are these principles: justice, judgment, and equity. Okay? Justice, judgment, and equity. What I want you to see particularly about this particular passage of Scripture is that justice does not live in a silo all by itself. It is part of an integrated life filled with biblical principles. Now, because we love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we are supposed to love our neighbor as ourself. We are supposed to live a life of justice. I know a lot of people who demand mercy for themselves and perfection from everybody else. I've known people who were extremely outspoken. And by that I mean they would point out every flaw that you've got in your life. But they couldn't tolerate it if a person dared to try and flip the script on them and began to point out the mote that they had in their eye. And so whenever a person begins to treat certain aspects of their life as a compartment, saying, okay, we're going to study this compartment, and that's why we are in all of these various veins of thought. Remember, all of this started with seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Some of the greatest seasons of learning in my walk with Jesus have come because a verse came alive in my spirit, and as I began to pursue the applications of all of that, all of a sudden I discovered things that in the Word of God that I had never had quickened to me before. Let me give you an example. To the faithful, you show yourself faithful. You know how I got to that? I was studying biblical purity. I was studying biblical purity, and I came upon one of the most impactful verses of my life. The NIV says, to the faithful, you show yourself faithful. And I was like, God, I want to see your faithfulness. And so if you want to see faithfulness, you've got to be faithful. A couple of instances in my life where I have observed that is one time I bought a car from a car dealer. They were advertising a $5 car sale. And I got down there and there were a lot of people. They were already lined up, and not every car was $5. They didn't have the prices posted. And so I ended up sitting in a Ford Tempo, a 1980-something Ford Tempo. And it was the $5 car. And for the life of me, I couldn't really remember seeing too many Ford Tempos. I remember one. But after I got that car, I saw Ford Tempos absolutely everywhere. That's been the way with almost every car that I've ever had. Because I had one, then I started recognizing them wherever they were at. The other thing is because you're going through something, because you're living something, you begin to notice other people are going through the same thing. And that was whenever my wife was expecting one of our children. You noticed just couples expecting babies all over the place. And you know, Jesus, it says, when we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So in this passage, some of the groupings of topics that coexist with justice is wisdom. To live a life of justice is to live a life of wisdom. If you go back to the book of Job, you will find that his comforters, with parentheses around them, were trying to accuse him that he had been living a secret life that wasn't nearly as righteous as what he had proclaimed he had been living. The truth of the matter was, he said, look, all of the things that you have accused me of, I wasn't doing those things. I was actually helping out the poor. I was actually helping people in the community that needed help. They came to me and I was helping them. Job had lived a wise life. He had sown a lot of good seed. That's why God was telling, you know, Satan in Job chapter 1, and again in the book of Job, I think chapter 2, is, have you considered my servant Job? You know, what one of the greatest compliments that you could ever get is God bragging on you. And God said he's blameless in all of his ways. So you and I, we need to live